Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now, excited about this new guest and hopefully consistent guest here on The Whole Show, Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies, the DNVR Rockies podcast. Spencer, my man, I've been hearing some great things about you, bro, so I thought I'd reach out and start talking some Rockies with you, my friend.
Brady, I appreciate it, man. I am stoked to do this.
Okay, Spencer, I got to fill you in. I don't know if you're familiar. It's a worldwide thing. I'm sure everyone knows about this, but a friend of mine here, one of our morning show hosts, we did this last year. We decided we'd try to rally for the Rockies, and we said, hey, we're not cutting our hair or shaving our faces until the Rockies win 30. That was tough for us last year. I did. My wife didn't know who I was. My dog barked at me. My kid disowned me. This year, I got to say, so far, I look fairly normal, and we're 13 wins in, my man. So the whole, we call it the dirty 30 here, and so far, so good, my friend.
I love that. You better set that appointment, man. This is going to come way sooner than last year.
I mean, what were they, Spencer? 13 and 55 last year? They didn't get their 13th win until they lost 55 games, so we're well ahead of the game.
Yeah, the graphic comes out every time they win a game that says, you know, last year they won their 12th game, it was 47 losses, and then 13th game, it's 55 losses, and it just continues on, and it's kind of repetitive, but it's almost funny to see it, and it's like every single game they win last year, it was a party was going to be thrown, and this year it's like, whoa, they're actually a competent baseball team out there at Coors Field.
I mean, okay, so you obviously, you cover this team closer than, you know, most anybody else out there. Did you see, I mean, there are a couple of games, three games under 500. Did you see this coming in the month of April this season?
No, for two reasons. Number one, I expected them to be a more competitive baseball team this year in 2026. The schedule in April is a murderer's row.
Right.
The teams that they have already played and then the teams they got coming up. That was really my main factor of saying, I think I predicted, we wrote an article about our 26 predictions for this year, and I think I predicted them to win 7 games by the end of April. I did think they would be better this season. There was a lot of, you know, they were as bad as it could be last year, one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. But there were a lot of injuries and a lot of other issues that they were dealing with to their starting rotation, to most of their lineup. Brent Doyle missed a good part of the year, same with Tovar. And so there was a lot that anything that could go wrong last year did. And so I figured they'd be better this year. But even winning 53 to 55 games this year is a 10 to 12 game jump. And that's a lot better baseball team. But I definitely didn't expect a near 500 record in Oldsmobile.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. What do you look at? Because there's been a lot of positives. Anytime you're flirting with that 500 mark compared to where you were a year ago, we can look at the pitching. We can look at Warren Schaefer. We can look at the bats. Is there one thing in particular that you look at and say, this is the primary reason we're seeing the turnaround take effect for the Rockies?
I think it's got to be your starting pitching. And if you look at their ERA, they're kind of middle of the pack. The bullpen's been really good. That's been documented. They've had a couple of blown saves, which really this team could be 16-13 right now instead of 13-16. But I think the starting pitching being competent and starting to go deeper into games, 5, 6, 7 innings, and allowing 2 or 3 runs is giving you a chance to win every game. The offense is still, it's better than it was last year. It's still way behind where it needs to be. But the starting pitching and signing veterans like Tomo Sugano and Jose Quintana and Michael Lorenzen have proved to be really, really solid for this team. And I think those guys are not part of the Rockies' future, and we all know that looking at their ages. But they're starting to build a blueprint for what works at Coors Field. And I think the starters have had some really – their ERA really has been – gone up because of a few really bad outings. It's not like every day they're going out there and allowing 5 or 6 runs and you're trying to outscore teams. Most starters have had 1 or 2 starts where it's been really bad, especially Michael Lorenzen, and the rest of them have been actually pretty solid. 5 or 6 innings, given up, you know, quality start, if you will, 6 innings, given up 3 or less runs, and that's kept them in baseball games. And like you saw this past Sunday, they win 2 straight games on the same day and allow 1 total run. I mean, if you're getting pitching like that, the hitting was not great, but it was enough to win the game.
Well, and you kind of expected that, too, after the series against San Diego. You know, your bats are somewhat rolling in that game or in that series. It's going to slow down when you leave. That's just how it happens. But you did enough, and your pitching was what got you through another sweep of a series against the Mets.
Yeah, I was very cautious on our show last Friday of being excited that, you know, even though it was a gut punch loss against the Padres on Thursday, the Rockies, when they go out on the road after a homestand, that first one or two games is always a struggle offensively. And it kind of was. They scored 4 runs and then 3 runs and then 3 runs. But when your pitching staff allows 3, 1, and 0, you're going to win all those baseball games.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies, and I've just been fascinated watching how they handle the pitchers. Even looking at Chase Dolander and how he started this year. Hey, we're going to start a pitcher in the first inning or so, and then he's going to come in. Now it looks like maybe he'll be considered more of a traditional starting pitcher. We'll see, but that has been fascinating to me to see just who's going to go out first, how many innings this guy is going to go, and so far it's worked pretty good.
Yeah, the job Warren Schaefer and the new pitching coaches and pitching staff have done has been nothing short of incredible for a turnaround from what it was last year. And then when you get guys like Antonio Senzatella, who has a 0.5 ERA in 18 innings this year, who was arguably the worst starting pitcher in the entire National League last year. And he comes into this middle inning role. Sometimes he comes in the eighth inning and pitches two and closes. Sometimes he comes in the third inning and goes for 3 or 4. Like the role of a lot of these players has been so just flexible. And they've had a couple starters go down to the IL already. We expect to see Kyle Freeland back for this Red Series, but they've had to be very flexible and do different things than they've ever done in the past. And for the most part, everyone succeeded in their new role. And it really kind of throws other teams off balance because they don't know what they're going to expect. It's not the traditional, you know, baseball that you think of. A starter goes 6 innings and you have a 7th inning guy and then an 8th inning guy and then a closer. Like they are so far from unconventional in that realm of you don't know who the closer is going to be day to day. You don't know who the 8th inning guy is going to be day to day. And it's thrown other teams off balance, and the pitching has really helped be a part of that.
Now, Spencer, I remember when Bud Black was first hired, and they had this Friends of Baseball event up here in Greeley. I think Dick Monfort kind of helps with that, so it makes sense to have some of those guys speak up here in Greeley. I remember Bud Black, he was just banging his fist on the table like, we are going to have starters go 6 innings. And, you know, everybody was applauding him for that at the time. But now we are kind of a far cry from that. Is this more of a Warren Schaefer thing? Is this a Paul DePodesta Moneyball type thing? Who kind of began, you know, orchestrating this is how we're going to handle our pitching, at least for the first portion of the season?
I think it starts with Paul DePodesta, and then it worked down to Warren Schaefer. And when we were at winter meetings, that's when the news came out about hiring Alon Leishman and Matt Daniels and this entire pitching coaching staff that they had changed out from prior years, which everybody was obviously very happy to see. But I think the one thing that they told us over and over again at winter meetings and interviews, all this stuff, was we are looking at every single avenue of making this pitching staff successful. And it's probably not going to be conventional, and it's going to look different. And even Kyle Freeland in one of his interviews said, you know, some of the things I've heard seem a little crazy, but when you had one of the worst ERAs in the history of baseball, I believe over 6.6 last year for the Rockies, something wasn't working. And so you might as well try to change everything and rebuild it from the ground up. And that's really what they've done, especially with their pitching philosophy.
You know, you talk about Leishman too, and he's been fascinating just to watch him in the dugout, you know, calling pitches. And you wonder how that goes over with guys, because we know pitchers can be, you know, a different animal when it comes to that. But I think everybody buying into this philosophy has been also pretty fascinating to see.
Right. I think the buy-in from the players has been huge. And I think that what's helped the Rockies a little bit in this exact realm is the fact that they have a pretty young team. And like Hunter Goodman's not a 10-year vet behind the plate, right? And Brett Sullivan's been in the league for a bit and kind of a career backup. But both of their catchers are younger guys that haven't really established themselves in the MLB and wouldn't be a guy that's like, oh, I'm not taking pitches from you. I'm going to call this game. And Alon Leishman's really has put his finger on every single pitch that's thrown, and I think it's been really helpful. And you see him going out for mound visits when a pinch hitter is called, and really going over a scouting report of what this guy can do. And I think, you know, step by step, it's helped their pitching staff a ton, and I'm excited to see what it grows into, because this is the, you know, we've been in a rebuild for multiple years, and I think this is the year that they finally, if you will, tore it down to the screws and are rebuilding from the foundation up and working with some new pitchers, but also working with some of the guys that have been Rockies their entire career and changing what they do to make them more successful at Coors Field.
Well, and Spencer, you just mentioned Kyle Freeland too. It sounds like we're going to get a boost there with the pitching staff. He's going to go today.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to see him back. I mean, the unfortunate thing about Kyle Freeland, I grew up facing Kyle Freeland in high school, actually, here in Colorado.
Oh, no kidding. So, awesome.
I was the only guy on our summer league team to make contact off of him. He struck out five guys in two innings, and I hit a 70-mile-an-hour ground ball to second base. So I'm holding on to that still.
That is,
in my 30s.
You hang on to that, my friend. There's no way myself or my wonderful producer back there could even come close to that. So you absolutely hang on to that.
Yeah, our whole summer league team was watching him warm up before the first inning, and we had wood bats, and we were like, oh, man, we are toast.
But
Kyle Freeland, being the Colorado kid that he is, we all love him.
Yeah.
Rockies fans, you know, he basically threw a no-hitter at Coors Field, got kind of hosed on a little fly ball. This is like 7 or 8 years ago, and had some Cy Young votes here. So we all love Kyle Freeland. I think the unfortunate part for him at this point in his career is I don't think he's ever going to be able to pitch a full season again. But if you can get him out there and get 4 or 5 starts in a row, and then maybe he hits the IL and then get 4 or 5 in a row, he is the most competitive guy I've ever seen on the mound for the Colorado Rockies. And that's what's going to be part of this turnaround, is guys getting fiery, guys getting competitive, not hanging their heads. And I think that's a big kudos to Warren Schaefer and the roster that they've built. This team may not be much better than last year in wins and losses, and it may end up still being a 100-loss season, but they are fiery, they're competitive, and they're not just hanging their heads and moping that they're the worst team in baseball like they were all of last season.
And it also seems like there's a little bit of fire with these guys, you know? I mean, when they get called out, they're doing the fishing thing out there when they get to base. The home run coat that they're wearing, I absolutely love it. It just seems like they're having fun, but there's a little bit of an edge with this roster.
Yeah, they definitely... You know, if you ask Warren Schaefer or anybody that was part of the Rockies last year about last year, they shut it down very quickly. They are turning the page to this year. They're changing everything up, and they've started to win games earlier than I thought, which has created a little bit of confidence throughout the roster. And then that confidence turns into a little bit of that fire, right? The celebrations, like, if you do those celebrations when you're losing 4 games straight to the Dodgers, you kind of look stupid.
Yeah.
But when you split with the Dodgers at home and you're doing some of those celebrations and you're getting confidence and winning some baseball games, it makes it even more fun. And I think guys in the clubhouse are having a lot more fun playing baseball this year, which has been a huge help to not only their record, but just the vibes in the clubhouse and the vibes around the team. And even the national media, I think some of the people are starting to take note.
Yeah, 13-16. They got the series coming up against the Reds. You tell me, man, how optimistic are you? Is this all sustainable? And just how big of a turnaround do you think we could possibly see with the Rockies? What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that they're going to flirt with not losing 100 games this year, which to some people and some teams out there sounds like a loser mentality. But in reality, when you won 43 last year, if you take a 20-game jump and win 63 this year, I think that's worth at least celebrating in the moment for the point in the rebuild you're at. I'm a little worried about the team on the road still and their bats, and, you know, hopefully the pitching can keep them in it. I think some of these pitchers will not continue to pitch as well as they have in April the entire year. I think we'll see a little bit of fall off from some guys, but I hope, my biggest hope and one thing that I've been pretty steady on is, as long as this team can be more competitive at Coors Field, think 35 to 37 wins right around that five or six games under 500 at home, I think they can be more fun to watch, number one, but winning at home will give them confidence to go on the road and then help them out there. I don't have a ton of confidence that they're just going to be, you know, hovering around 500 the whole year and we're going to have a reason to check the wild card standings come August. But I think being more competitive at home, I think right now their record is 7-6 at Coors Field. If they can stay around 500 at home, I think that's a huge confidence boost to the fact that they're playing better baseball and they're figuring out ways to win at home, which has been a huge thing that all the front office has talked about all offseason, is, hey, we have to use Coors Field as an advantage, not a disadvantage. The other teams have to come in here and play 3 or 4 games. We play 81 a year here. Let's make it to our advantage.
Spencer, tell me, this is the most important one. When are we shaving? When are we cleaning up our faces and our hair, man? Give me a ballpark.
30 wins. 30 wins. I would say by June 1st, you're going to be clean shaven.
Hey, dude, that is great news. I will take that, because that's going to be right around the time things start to go south, and not in a very good way. So yeah, I'll take that, man, any day of the week.
Yeah, I think June 1st is a good time to maybe book that appointment for. It might be earlier, honestly. Like, it'll be interesting to see once they play some more of these bad teams. Now, looking at the schedule starting the season, you thought the Mets would be a good team. They turned out to be a bad team as of right now, and the Rockies swept them, right? So if the Rockies are playing some of these more middling teams, or teams that are quote-unquote on their level, I think they're going to have a good chance to win a lot more series, and especially a lot more series than they did last year. They're already well outpacing that number.
I'll take it, my friend. Spencer, we're going to be looking to do this with you every single week, man. I really appreciate your time. Tell me a little bit about yourself while we have you. The podcast, I love the work. You know, I told you in our messages back and forth, we've done a lot of work back and forth with the great folks at DNVR, and we're just happy to get this connection on the Rocky side of things. But tell me a little bit about yourself, bro.
So I grew up in Colorado, loved to play baseball. Baseball is always kind of one of my favorite things and my first love, if you will. I've been a Rockies fan since I was a little kid, was at game 163, was at the World Series, like really fell in love with it from a Rockies perspective, kind of in that 2003 to 2005 range. And then started working for DNVR in 2020. I also host a golf podcast. I grew up playing golf and kind of got into the career of golf. And then the Rockies podcast kind of host job opened up a little bit, and I've been doing the Rockies, the DNVR Rockies podcast, actually for about 4 or 5 years with a bunch of different actual hosts. And now me and Christian are rocking it 2 days a week during the season, Mondays and Fridays. And it's been my dream, man, getting a Rockies credential and going into Coors Field and going into the dugout. I still pinch myself. I've done it 15 to 20 times, and I still pinch myself every time I walk into Coors Field and get to walk onto the field and into the dugout and talk to the players, talk to the coaches. It's been an incredible journey, and we're having fun with it now. Last year was a lot of apathy. We pulled up one of our shows from April of last year and played it on our show yesterday, actually, and it was hilarious to see the different dichotomies from last season to this season. But we're hoping to grow with this team and get excited for the Rockies and have people that aren't the true diehards, you know, kind of the fringe fans, maybe get them back to Coors Field, get them back into liking the Rockies, and the team is helping us do that right now.
Well, how can our listeners go and check your stuff out, man? That, you know, that Twitter account, throw out, you know, where they can find the podcast and everything you're putting together for us when it comes to all things Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, so DNVR_Rockies on Twitter, and then DNVR_sports on Instagram and Twitter as well. A lot of our stuff you can find there. Same with the YouTube channel, DNVR Sports. We go live every Monday and Friday at noon Mountain Time to talk Rockies, and then we do some post-game shows, some watch-alongs, a bunch of other different stuff during the year. And we also do a Friday Rooftop Club where we go out to a Friday game and hang out with everybody on the rooftop, party, drink some Coors Lights. It's been a blast, and we do that basically the second Friday of every month throughout the rest of the year. So we go out, talk to the people, we have a great time, and it's been so much fun, and the Rockies have made it even more fun with their record this year.
I love it. You are a man of the people. Spencer, dude, this is awesome, and I'm looking forward to these chats as we document this season together. Of course, you guys are really going to be diving in on all things Rockies, but to be able to chat with you every week on the show is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it, bro.
Yeah, I am as well. Having a radio shows around this state want to talk about the Rockies again is something I've dreamed of the past 3 or 4 years, because I listen to a lot of radio, and they've always been an afterthought, and I think that's changing a little bit, which is good to see.
No, it's fun. I love it. All right, Spencer, man, appreciate you, dude, and we'll look to catch up with you next Tuesday.
Brady, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, sounds good, man. Spencer Smith, DNVR, Rockies. June 1st, Michael, how do we feel about that? He's given us a June 1st date, saying that's when we can cut the hair and shave the beard, Michael.
I'm going to say June 2nd.
Okay. I'm going to say May 31st.
Okay, so he's remaining in the middle of your optimism and my pessimism.
I mean, they got 13 wins. That's already a win in April, Mike. I mean, I don't want them to get swept by Cincinnati, but 13 wins. He even said it. This is a guy that's in the know. This guy knows baseball and follows the Rockies closely, and he's saying, hey, I thought they'd win 7 in April. So we damn near doubled that. So we're ahead of the game. May, the schedule somewhat lightens up. So I know the Dodgers are there. I know Atlanta's there. You got the Mets again. There, I think, you know, we're for sure going to get into the 20s in the month of May. May will be the quest for the 20s. That's where we're going here. We need 7 more.
Now, keep in mind that the Rockies are traditionally good in April and May.
Well, May's good then. Yeah, so don't stop. Keep going.
Well, I'm just saying that you guys could get your hair cut pretty early in June, and then the Rockies could go do their normal Rockies thing, and they could have 60 wins on the season while we're expecting them to be really good. They could not be as good.
Well, and if the Rockies start winning more and more games, you know, we have to increase this thing to 40. You know, the
Tanner's not going to do that.
The Lordy Lordy can't wait till we get to 40. The next campaign. And the Nifty Thrifty, we're getting to 50 type of deal. You know?
Tanner's not going to do that.
He might.
He won't.
He might. You never know, Mike. I didn't think he'd double down on it this year, to be honest with you. But
I think I heard him say that if it got into July, he would cut it.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
We're
not getting close to July.
It's going to be in June.
Michael is right. I'm not doing this. Yeah, there you go. You don't want to do the Lordy Lordy, can't wait till 40?
I guess he's not a real Dodgers fan. Excuse me. I guess he is a Dodgers fan. He's not a real Rockies fan.
He doesn't believe, Mike. He doesn't believe. Speaking of believe, do you know a new Ted Lasso season's coming out?
I don't like soccer, so I don't watch it.
It's a good show. It's a good show. I'm going to make you watch it. You're going to put your face back on, and you're going to watch Ted Lasso. That's probably an HR violation, but I'm going to do it. You have to do it.
Aren't we supposed to watch a movie?
Yeah, The Natural.
Okay.
Are we doing that Friday? Friday.
Friday.
You can do this. You can do it, Mike. We got to find, where can we watch The Natural? Where is it? I'm looking it up because you're not obviously looking it up. The Natural. So we got a baseball movie coming up. It looks like it is.
You can buy it on YouTube, Apple TV, Prime.
You got to buy it?
Fandango at Home and Google Play Movies.
It's not on Netflix?
Oh, apparently it is on Netflix.
No, it's not on Netflix. I don't think so. Tanner says it's on Prime. Do you have to pay for it on Prime? I have Prime. Does that mean you have to pay for it?
Yes, $3.99.
That's silly. All right, 43 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.